Holy dummy. Holy dummy. And there we are. That's interesting. All right. There we go. And we should be good. So anybody in the audience, let us know in the chat if we're coming through here. Pretty good. And we will start the show. All right. And all right. Let's see, Dennis. All right. Shameless Wise is here. He said, good morning, gents. So looks like we're coming through, right, Shameless? Are we good? You hear us okay? Or me okay? I'm the only one yapping.
You're doing enough for both of us, Dev.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Oh, boy, you're right. You're right. Well, you're going to do most of the talking anyway today, so
hold on one second.
Hold on. I'm too nice. Okay, Stephanie's here. She says, love and blessings to all. Cool. And Shameless says, yes, he can hear. I put a thumbs up there. So that's good. And, hell, let's start. We might as well. We got some audience members here, and we're going to get a lot more. Oh, my goodness. You're not it's unbelievable. I'm not going to answer this call. That's it. I had to get that call because that's the one I hung up from. But as you know, and maybe someone else out there knows, you know, the dummy, that's me. Something's muted. Let's see. Who's muted? Oh, that was before. Right. The dummy, knowing that the show is supposed to start at 9 o'clock Central, which is which is 4 minutes ago. The dummy started it at 8 o'clock Central. Poor Dennis, he's like trying to tell me, you know, something, and I'm not listening because I'm an idiot. And then somehow we started to, you know, it's like, wow, what's going on? He's like, yeah, I thought we were going to start at 9. I was, oh my God. Yeah. That's
not much of the best of us, Dave.
Yeah, like. I know. But let me, I hope we're not muted now, Shameless. That was from before when that call came in. I was on a call for like a half hour, 45 minutes, and I was on hold a lot of it. And I hung up, and they called back, so I figured I'd just take care of that and deal with it like that. So today is Wednesday, April
23, 2025. St. George's Day over here.
Is that what then? What is that about?
Well, it's patron saint of England for what it counts over here at the moment.
That's Veterans Day?
No, not Veterans Day. It's patron saint. As American.
Oh, he's a patron saint. Gotcha.
Yes.
So not only can I tell time this morning, but I can't hear. So I'll be going. Yeah. I'll be heading to the loony bin soon. Okay. Thanks, Shameless. Well, let's you know, prepare this interview with some, you know, some history, and then we'll get into, you know, the questions that I have for you, and then I'm sure the audience members would like to know as well. And Thomas Dwyer is here. He says, good morning. Hello, Thomas. Thomas is one of our listeners in Florida. He's a neighbor of mine in one of the neighboring towns. And Shameless is in, I think, Alberta, Canada. And Stephanie is here in Florida as well. And great people who tune into our shows, and it's always great to see them in the audience. And we just had, as I mentioned on my screw up starting the show early, Dennis, that we just had a pretty big upgrade on FTJ. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it's going to deal with any of the issues that had cropped up since we've been broadcasting. Now, we did a soft launch on the day that the United States dropped the Jewish atomic bomb on Japan, August 6th. And it's grown a lot, obviously, since then. And a lot of things have happened, a lot of new hosts. And we have new hosts coming on every day. And we just, we're going to have another one come on. You know, pretty soon. So, it's good because it's free speech, and
which is what he's lacking over here at the moment.
Yeah. That's an understatement. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's horrible. Of course we'll get into that as well.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got here. I'm going to take off that auto scroll, and we got Hereward the Wake. Good afternoon from the UK. Is the legendary Dennis Wise coming on? / No, he's not. He's already here.
I was here before you.
In more ways than one.
Yeah.
Yes, Shameless. Always great to be here. You have the best guests, Dave. Thank you. You know, I used to do interviews, as many of you know, you know, starting over 20 years ago. And I just stopped doing them because of a lot of other things that had to get taken care of. And like one of them is, you know, the publishing imprints that we have. Hold on one second. Let me do that. And Money Tree, you know, is one of them. And as we know, Money Tree is a hated company, rightfully so, because it's a hateful company. And I was listening to one of the hosts on FTJ, Flood. I don't know. Have you ever heard of Flood?
No.
Dennis? Yeah. So anyway, Flood was, I guess, using AI with that guy Bill Still, his voice, to read an article from the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Oh, that crew.
Yes, yes, those nice folks. And this was the article. Let me bring it up here, and then I'll show it. It'll come up on the screen. Do you see that there, Dennis?
Yep.
Yeah. So it says, and they just did this. They just attacked this guy because I guess he's getting too prominent. Podcast Hate Watch. Podcast platforms host Jake Shields, Anti-Semitism, Bigotry, and Racism, by an Irish guy, Jeff Tischhauser. Yeah. And Rachel, that's a giveaway, Fugardi, it's probably changed her name, April 11th. So it's the 23rd. So that's just about 2 weeks ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And... ooh, warning. This article contains references to graphic, anti-Semitic, racist, misogynistic, and anti-LGBTQ plus language. Reader discretion is advised. Anyway, I just happened to hear this. I was completely unaware because he's talking about here. Anti-Semitic content producer Ayo Kamathi appeared on Shields' show in February. Kamathi, it says there, he published his book, Jews Are the Problem, in 2023 via Money Tree Publishing. And that's when I heard it's Money Tree Publishing is an SPLC designated anti-Semitic hate group. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then let me put up another article here because this is it right here. Do you see that okay, Dan?
Yep.
Yeah. So here's a report from last year. About a year ago, I didn't even know about it. They didn't even let me know. They didn't send me a letter and give me an award. But this is the state of hate in the Deep South. And if you scroll down here, it says, every year since 1990, the SPLC has published an annual census of hate and anti-government groups in the United States. The number is one barometer of the level of hard right activity in the country. The map depicts approximate locations and is the result of a year of monitoring. So then they look at this. So there's the Deep South, right? Alabama, which is just about 10 miles north of me. And in fact, they call this part of Florida, which is Northwest Florida, they call this Southern Alabama. And we're like right above the what used to be the Gulf of Mexico. It's now the Gulf of America, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people from Alabama here. Great people. And Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, and Mississippi. And so when we get to Florida, you'll see Florida has this had the second highest number of hate and anti-government groups in the U.S. We got to get up there at number one. I guess Alabama's number one. Well, let's see if it is. Hold on. Okay, it doesn't say. All right. And the groups used various tactics, from direct action protest and flyering to political action and local organizing, blah, 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 right? And here's Florida's landscape, diverse and underrepresented communities. Blacks, 17%, indigenous people, 0.5%, Asian, blah, blah, blah. So there's the people that we're attacking, right? Yeah. They don't have Jews in there. So. And here's the groups, the bad guys, right? And you can see Money Tree Publishing is right there under right under Moms for Liberty and above Nation of Islam. They do it alphabetically. So it's very nice of the SPLC, whose headquarters are in Montgomery, Alabama, which is not too far from here. I've seen that filthy building. They park their Jewish asses right there in the Deep South on purpose. A really ugly, you know, metal, steel building, just disgusting. Let me actually show it while we're doing this. And let's go here. Yeah, here's the ugly thing. I don't know if you've ever seen it, Dan, but...
this is the first time.
Yeah,
Looks very communist.
Yes, yes. Exactly. And there it is. That's parked in the Deep South. So
ugly.
Very ugly. Just a real ugly thing. Let's see if you can. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there it is. It kind of doesn't fit in the Deep South.
No, it's a bit of an eyesore, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why they did it, obviously. I guess that's it. I don't know. Yeah, that's the inside of it. It's an ugly, like you said, eyesore that shouldn't be there, and they shouldn't be here down south, but they are, unfortunately. Okay, there we go. Let me take a look. And we are going to put that award up on the Money Tree website, and I'm going to send them a thank you card. I'm going to write that down. All right. Thank you card. SPLC. Got it. Okay. Excellent. That's done. That's very nice of them. So part of this format I've learned from, you know, real hosts who are on the show, real streamers, is, you know, who know what time their shows start, is the chat. So people in the chat are making comments and posts, and they have questions, as you know, I've just read some.
Sure.
So I'm going to regularly be going to the chat. And of course, if you want to see the chat, all you got to do is go to FTJ Media, click on this show, and you'll see the chat right there. Okay. All right. Yeah. And I can send you the link if you want.
I think I've got it, I think.
Okay, good.
I've got it.
Excellent. All right. And let's go to the chat right now. All right. Shameless Wise says, not by anybody with two brain cells to rub together. Yep. Okay. Hereward, the wake. I can't hear anything. I'm on the cell phone mobile. I take it I still can't listen in live. Sure you can. Sure you can. I'm a 42-year-old boomer tech with a 10-year-old phone. Dude, I'm older than you, and Dennis is older than me. So we're doing
it. My phone is older than 10 years.
Right. 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 So come on, man. Can you hear us now? Yes, Thomas. He put a nice image up there, as you can see, Dennis, if you're looking at the chat. The ADL and SPLC are Bolshevik Marxist terrorists.
Actually, I can't find the chat.
Okay, what you do is, if you look at the page where we're live, right, the bottom right, there's like a dialogue bubble. It's like greenish. You click that and the chat opens up.
So I click on...
So are you...
Wise one first of all.
Yeah, here, I'm going to send you this link anyway. I don't know if it's the same one, but I'll send it to you.
Okay.
And then let me know if that comes up. There, I sent you that link. And when that opens up, right, well, you got to mute it if it's not muted, right? And the way you mute it is you just click on that speaker icon, which is on that green bar to the right of the play button.
Got you. Right.
Okay. And then you see at the bottom right, there's like a
couple of bubbles.
Yeah. Click that and the chat will pop up. And then the next thing you do is when the chat pops up, you see like to the, on the top bar of that chat, there's those three dots.
Yeah.
You click those three dots. And then you, right at the top, you uncheck auto scroll.
Uncheck it.
Yeah, uncheck it. And then just click those three dots again. And then it won't, you know, because as the chats come in, right, they get buried.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I read that already. Shameless Wise says, I'm a two-way radio operator, and all I'm hearing this morning is Florida. Yeah, that's good. That is good. All right, Hereward, the wake. I can hear Floodstream, so I'm sadly going to give up on this. I will come back later for a re-upload. White power, hail Christ, hail Victor. I don't know why you can't hear it. Maybe you're on the... You should hear it. I don't know why you're hearing. But we'll see you later then. Yes, it'll be up in the archives, as long as I don't screw something up. So let's start by getting into... Well, Let's start by getting into this. People are looking at this on video, right? Many of them are just doing audio, but on video, and they see me, my ugly mug, and then they see a blue screen. Why are they seeing a blue screen?
Because the reason I'm probably still talking to you today is because I kind of hide my identity.
And why is that?
Well, I've known for a long, long time, even before I became public knowledge, that anybody speaking out over World War II and the events since then, persecution usually follows.
Yes, and especially where you're at, it's problematic.
Well, the thing is, Ori, is I can't remember any instance of a left-wing or a communist or an Antifa ever being jailed. They've kind of been given carte blanche. So the wisdom is just to lie low.
Very wise, my friend. And I mentioned this in the false start broadcast, but we've never done an interview together, which is kind of surprising because we've known each other for, or been working directly with each other for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be 5 years, I think, in August when we made contact, or actually Sven made contact and reached out to us to see if we would, if Money Tree would carry your movie. And of course, you know, that took a couple of months for that to happen. And then we started carrying Adolf Hitler, the greatest story never told.
Yeah, that's which, the first one,
yeah. Yeah, which a good buddy of mine, I love the guy, but he, you know, you never know with this stuff. You know, we were talking on a show last week, James Mason and I. Hey, Huntress is here. Hello, Huntress. And we were talking about somehow we got on to, you know James Mason, Dennis?
Rings a bell.
Yeah, not the British actor, no. But the he's the godfather of fascist terrorism. He put out those Siege newsletters. We carry that Siege book.
And
just a hell of a nice guy, which is the case with, you know, most of these people that the ADL and SPLC hate. You know, they're calling us haters, but they hate us, obviously. That's actually a good way to approach it with them. Say, you know, you cover hate a lot, whatever that is, but, you know, do you hate the people you say are haters, or do you love them? You know, yeah, assholes. But anyway, we were talking about we do our show on Tuesdays and Thursdays here on FTJ. It just there is no structure to it. It's just pretty much guided by what James or I might talk about in the beginning, and then what the chat wants to talk about. It's
okay.
It's dictated by the chat, which might happen here, but not to the extent that it does there, I think. But we were talking about the Etzel. We got onto the topic of the Etzel. Do you remember that car, that Ford Etzel that bombed fantastically? I know.
Right.
I know you're not here in the United States, but you know, Etzel was a term that was used to, you know, denote something that was a failure, like a bomb, right?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, like let's say, you know, like a movie that, you know, was supposed to be, you know, the number one at the box office and turned out to bomb, it would be like, you know, like an Etzel. One of my buddies, when I told him that we were thinking of carrying The Greatest Story Never Told, he advised against it because he felt that the market was saturated, that, you know, millions had already seen it online for free, and that it would be a, you know, a bad decision to carry, a bad business decision,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, which is something that...
Which he had a point.
He had a point. Yeah. That, you know, I'm pretty accomplished in making bad business decisions. but I don't know. I just felt that to do it. Anyway, it was, as you know, and as I know, it was the right decision to carry it because it's, you know, continually, you know, one of the most popular items, you know, on the site. And so that was, I think, August of 2020 when Sven reached out. And then in January 21, then we started carrying The Greatest Story Never Told. And then we added your next movie, which is New World Order, Communism by the Back Door.
Interestingly enough, I was told by an American guy, a good friend, not to use the world, sorry, not to use the New World Order, because at that time, apparently, it had such a bad name in America. It was getting criticized, and people weren't believing it. He said, don't use New World Order.
Hmm.
No, that's what he told me. But I went ahead anyway, being as stubborn as you are.
And what? So it had a bad,
A bad reputation in America, yeah.
Right. But you were just, you know, bad reputation as far as like the term New World Order.
That conspiracy thing, yeah.
Right, right. So, okay, gotcha. And you didn't listen like I didn't listen to my friend.
As we don't.
Yes, right, exactly. But we did take it under consideration. And yeah, so New World Order, Communism by the Back Door. So just like Adolf Hitler, right, colon, The Greatest Story Never Told, exclamation mark, and then New World Order, colon, Communism by the Back Door. And, of course, back door is one word, not two.
Yeah.
And we started carrying that, and these were in DVDs. And obviously it wasn't easy to do it because there's a lot of work that goes behind the scenes, goes on behind the scenes to do something like this. And I think we had done – I'm pretty sure we had done Hellstorm. Maybe I'm wrong, but
no, I think you did.
Yeah,
yeah,
that DVD before that.
Before we got a choke chilling, yeah.
Yeah, and then, of course, your final movie in the trilogy, what you call the Trilogy of Truth, was or is The Secret Masonic Victory of World War II.
Correct.
And then we had to, what's called author that. And that was, I don't know if you remember what
I remember
what I went through. Holy shit. You know, I this real asshole, that I had the great misfortune of getting hooked up with who had these technical skills. I mean, just like a total asshole. And you don't meet I haven't met too many total assholes in my life. But this guy was a total asshole. He probably still is. And he put me through hell with this thing, right? I mean, I work with a lot of people. And, you know, I can get along with almost everyone. There's only a few people I can't in my whole life. And we're talking about thousands of people. And this guy was like, holy shit. When I've met assholes in my life, I've scratched my head and, you know, sometimes said to them, you know, do you know me? You know, is there a reason you're acting like an asshole? So this guy was one of them, but we got it done, of course.
Eventually,
and that movie was solely available online. And obviously we authored it and it's available as a DVD. And then subsequent to that, we introduced the most popular one, which is The Greatest Story Never Told, in Blu-ray.
That's right. Yeah.
And that had never been done before. And the reason that Sven reached out to us was, and should we mention a little bit about Sven? I mean, he's been in the news, right? Yeah.
Sure.
So he had what, Radio Albion, right?
Yeah. He used to appear on, once a week for a long time.
Yeah. So you were doing his show once a week. That's right. And then you had a fella, I think it was in New Zealand, who was distributing, I guess, the first one and the second one, because the third one wasn't out. Is that right?
I think so, yeah, because he run the website, which everybody would automatically go to see the to see what's written in the clips.
Right, and that was the Greatest Story Never Told.tv.
That's the one.
And then you had a relationship with this guy for, I guess, a couple of years?
Yeah. Funny enough, when I first met him, and we come to an agreement, and he made the website. He was going to use his real name, not obviously being ignorant to what could happen. Do not use your real name, to which he agreed. But as the story goes on, you'll probably get to a point where we know what happened to him.
Yeah. Yes. So this guy in New Zealand, all of a sudden, he had just gone off the radar.
Yeah. Probably may have 4 or 5 years now since we actually had contact on Skype.
Wow. And then, you know, Sven said, hey, we got to continue getting this out to the public, because that's how you wake people up. And a lot of folks, you know, obviously millions, millions. How does that, you know, when you say something, Lou, when somebody says something,
register.
Like, yeah, right. When you say millions, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How does that make you feel?
Well, I think it first hit home when the United Nations, you know, when Trump was going for his first run for president, they said in the United Nations that the Greatest Story Never Told was the most watched by white nationalists that year. And so, you know, you tend to see the scale of what it has become, because let's be honest, we don't know who's seen it. Anybody can view it. You know, they've seen it online, from the royal family to the prime minister. You don't know, do you? I'm pretty sure some of these people have done though.
Yeah. Yeah, they know. But I mean, just the you know, the word millions, right? That's huge.
Well, interestingly enough, there was a, and maybe still be online, I don't know, but there's a newspaper from Israel. I think it's News of Israel or something it was called. And somebody wrote to the editor that they'd seen this Greatest Story Never Told and was confused because it sounded true. And I think that paper or online paper had a million readers. So,
wow. And that's just that. But, I mean, is there any way to estimate how many may have seen it online?
I don't know. I know when YouTube shut down Pete's site, he had one up on YouTube that had a million subscribers, and I had one on, which weren't as many, but it was quite a number before YouTube took them both down. Like, so here, there, and everywhere, you know, these millions mount up. I know when YouTube tried to first ban it, I managed to get 17 parts of 25 up onto YouTube before they shut it down. By that time, there was a huge amount of websites all over what had already started to run it. And so, you know, they were getting mentioned on Facebook and all various places. Now, slowly and surely, they've clamped down and clamped down and clamped down. But, you know, fortunately, people still wanted, even though they'd seen it, still wanted to buy it. Because, I'll tell you something else, when people used to wait for it and it used to come in the post, this is first-hand people would tell me, they would hold it in their hand but be scared of opening it Now, why, I don't know, but maybe the aura of such a DVD at that time was too much of people at first, you know, certainly the autumn did eventually, but it was just something mystical about it.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to bring that up later on about my experience with talking to folks and customers about it. In the chat right now, Shameless said, "I shed a tear watching Hellstorm. Huntress's greatest story gets me too. I gave it to all my son's friends to watch." I might as well mention it now, before we go back in time, that I talk to tons of people who call up and want to order something or have a question. Some people send emails or call and they say, I just want to make sure this isn't a scam website because they can't believe what's up there. And it's almost like a satire site. And I'll say, yeah, no, it's real. Believe me, it's real. But I've talked to so many people over the years who, and I just talked to somebody a couple of days ago. I can't remember who, but she said that, and I've heard this many times, this particular line from folks, that the greatest story never told changed their lives. I know you've heard it
Yeah,
too.
I've heard it a number of times.
Yeah.
And plus the comments in IMDb, who still run that page, I mean, the comments are unbelievable. Well, they're either marked 1 out of 10, which is obviously our friends, but a huge, overwhelming amount of 10 out of 10s. Just drowns any criticism.
Yeah, there it is. Let's bring it up real quick. But hearing that from folks, over the years,
Sure.
it's like, wow, and they're just, they, I guess the general, theme of the of their comments about it are, or the most common, comments about the greatest story never told, or that it's literally changed their lives,
Yeah.
and it's they cried so much about it, and I think that's what you were alluding to before has something to do with them even being afraid to hold it because it's so taboo because
Yeah.
the Jews media has infused this
Correct.
poison into the minds of so many. But let's take a look at IMDb. And yeah, it is still there, and that's cool. And of course, IMDb is the Internet Movie Database, which was bought by Scamazon. And there it is, greatest story never told.
Well, if you click on users' reviews.
Okay. Let's see. Right there, 246 user
Well,
reviews.
there's one at the top there in next to
Oh, right
Cast and
here?
Crew.
Right
Yeah, if
here?
you click on
Yeah.
that,
Okay.
it then takes you. Now, let's have a look.
Right there.
Yeah, if you just drop down again. No, if you go up, sorry.
Okay.
User reviews. Go to featured,
Featured
which is sort by featured.
here, right here.
Yeah.
Okay, review date, total votes, prolific reviewer, review rating.
Scroll down a touch.
This is on featured. Do you want me to put review date or
Yeah.
total votes? Okay, review date.
Yeah.
10-10. That one, watched it twice and likely will again. That one.
Yeah, you keep scrolling down. 10-10.
Right.
10-10. 10-10. And on and on.
11. There's an 11. Yeah. No, but I mean, here's, this is this is a phenomenon.
Yeah.
So, and let me just, before we we continue, I just want to go to here because we talked about this fella. And let's just go here so folks know who we're talking about. And that's Sven Longshanks, James Allchurch. And that was in the BBC and Guardian wrote about it primarily. But this was back, about 2 years now, where he was jailed for racist podcast. Of course, racist should be in quotes. But there he is, a nice guy. And it was because of him that we met. And
that's right.
Yeah. And I'm glad about that because you're, literally one of the nicest guys I know. And that's a common theme with all of these targets of these Jewish groups, is that it turns out that the people they really hate, like you and Duke and Mason and other people, are like the nicest people in the world. And there he was found guilty on 10 counts of distributing material to stir up racial hatred.
Well, he was jailed for 2.5 years and like, we had a brief chat this morning.
Right.
When you dragged me out early. that's quite good because now you get 2.5 years just for posting on Facebook.
Exactly.
Never mind running a radio station for 10 years or what it was.
Or forget about posting on Facebook. If you're praying silently on the street, they'll tase you, arrest you, and ruin your life. Yeah, that country is it's effectively done.
Yeah. Well, it's like I said in communism by the back door. Communism is the enemy, and that is what's taking over or trying to take over the world. It's certainly taking over the UK. It's a soft communism. We all know what hard communism's like. Mm-hmm. But it's been going on for a long time. I mean, this cultural Marxism, they even use bands like the Beatles to break down all this culture and change the culture, in fact. But I'm happy to say that Sven is out of prison now. He's in a probation hotel. He comes out, they lift the shackles off him in November. So I haven't been able to be in contact with him because they are monitoring everything, who he talks to and et cetera. But I'm sure we'll get together when he comes out.
They're electronically monitoring him as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not just physically, but electronically. Yeah. Cause, and did he ever hurt anybody physically? Did he punch anyone or?
No.
Did he shoot anyone? No, he didn't shoot anyone.
Sorry, I was coughing and I'm in the mic.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. You want to grab some? You want to grab some water?
Okay, I'm going to drink here. Just a
quick. Yeah.
No, he's not that type of guy at all.
Did he ever use like a machete like they do in London, in England, all that? No,
hardly.
No machete. Hardly. How about a car bomb? He must have done something to get locked up for that long.
No, it was his radio show, which
words?
Yes, people sought to send him to prison.
Mm-hmm. And are you limited as to what you can say now? Do you think, or are you okay saying anything?
If I were to go on Facebook and post,
no, I mean here on this show.
On this show, no, I'm pretty much I'm okay.
So, are you comfortable?
Yeah.
So, in other words, we could say instead of people, we could say Jews.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. All right. So the Jews went after him.
Yeah, okay. Basically.
Okay.
But he did tell me at one point he sent me a letter. And he said that his big worry when he first went to prison was because of his health. He had a fair bit of medication. But eventually they sorted that out. And he also mentioned that many people in the prison he was agreed with his point of view, even Muslims. And he even said, believe it or not, many had seen the documentary.
So the judge in the court,
Yeah.
in the Swansea Crown Court, found him guilty. It wasn't a jury, or it was a jury. It was a jury. Okay, so a jury, which is always a problem because the jury are goyim and they're beyond stupid.
Yeah, and the judge can influence as well.
Right. The jury found him guilty of 10 counts and not guilty of five. And the judge, this Judge Reese, said the offending, so he said all church, Sven, amounted to, and this is a quote, to a stain on our humanity. Right? I mean, I guess the humanity of the goyim. During the trial early this year, the jury replayed 15 episodes of the podcast, which included talk about hanging blacks and Jews, as well as playing a song advocating racial segregation. Heaven forbid we would want to racially segregate. That's horrible. So yes, so there he is. That's his, I guess, his mugshot, right? And he's probably wondering, what the hell am I, what did I do, right? Yeah, what did I do? So he'll be out in November. Well, he'll have the ankle monitor off him, right? You know, that's the question that I've had for a lot of folks there is why stay there? You know, is it because a lot of these people want to stay in their own country and fight, or is it because they can't get out?
They can't get hurt. No, well, there's a lot of people can't afford, even to get to the next town, some people, you know what I mean? No, it's just a question they're having to bear it at the moment. I mean, there's plenty of millionaires left. They've seen the light.
Yes, let's go to the chat again. Like I said, we're going to go back and forth. Hunter says Sven Longshanks was sent to prison on absolute bullshit. Yes. Hunter says it was a huge guilt trip for me. This is a greatest story because my dad loved Hitler and I didn't believe him. Now I know dad was right. And I'm sure you've heard tons and tons of these same type of comments, of course. Lisa from Germany is here, another conquered nation for now. Good afternoon, Dennis Wise and Dave Gahary. Hello, chat. You are a breath of fresh air in a world almost totally suffocating from the smelliest, ugliest, most persistent Jewish lies. 100% true.
Of course, Germany is one of the more countries where they're under the control, even more so than over here. With mention of the Holocaust, there's a prison sentence.
Hopefully that's not going to come over there, but probably will because
Probably
they
not.
have, yeah, they have to because obviously tons are waking up every day. They lost control of their Jews media narrative, and they're focusing on passing laws to stifle free speech further. And just, I guess, the other day, Trumpenstein appointed a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen who is an Israeli who worked for the Israeli Ministry of Defense and put this Jew, put her, on the National Security Council. So it's not just that Jews have infested, our what used to be our governments, but now they're openly putting Israelis into very sensitive positions. So we obviously have a big problem here, and the way that we resolve the problem is by talking about it. And the, hopefully, just like Huntress said, her dad tried to tell her, but because of the programming, and I'm adding, my commentary here, after the, because of the programming, she didn't believe him. And obviously now she knows. So more and more folks are coming to the realization that everything, basically everything that they have been told is a lie, not just, you know, if you, everything. It's like the opposite of what it is. So we covered Sven. Did you want to look at IMDb again, or is that good?
I think that's good enough.
Okay. Yes. So let's go to you, and like, you know, like a common question that a lot of folks ask is, you know, when did you become, you know, aware of this? And I've been asked this many times on interviews, and, you know,
I've been carrying this burden around with me since I was 10 years old.
Well, go ahead, explain.
Well, basically what it was, my father came to Britain to escape the communist takeover in Europe, fought down in the Balkans for the Germans, and came over to this country as a legal immigrant, and then eventually married, got divorced, got custody of me, which was unusual at that time. So I was brought up from 18 months old by my father, and we used to sit around the fire at night having long chats about his exploits in the war, etc., once I was old enough to understand. And this is where I learned that he's of his admiration of Adolf Hitler. But obviously, as I grew older and went to school, it's not something I could talk about, because obviously the propaganda was really well set in Britain. Any mention of Hitler brings out the fury of people. So, but I knew the story for all this time, and even I grew into my teens and eventually got married. But I couldn't really tell anybody, only my close family, because I knew it was pointless. Until, of course, the break of the internet. Now, once the internet came available, I realised I could reach a wider audience. So, not having a clue whether it would work or if I was good enough to be able to accomplish it, I set about doing the six and a half hour documentary. And like I said, I used to put it up on 15-minute intervals up on YouTube. Used each intervals apart so people could watch it like a Netflix movie. Didn't have to watch it all at once. And it was only taken down after 17 parts. But it was too late. It had already gone all around viral around the internet. Like I said, people were talking on Facebook. In fact, I managed to get a Facebook page at once, and I hadn't even posted on it. Dennis Weiss Facebook page, and they banned me. So even they'd heard of it.
That happened to me too. They disabled my account, and I never posted on it. I just did. I used the messenger. So
they knew what were coming.
Yeah. They just. It's crazy, but I just got
the thing is, though, Dave, is that the problem I had was, how do I persuade people who were so set in their ways because of the propaganda to persuade them that Adolf Hitler wasn't this monster? In fact, not only was he not the monster, was a guy who was trying to fight for Europe. And I've got to be honest, it's not the easiest of accomplishments, but it certainly turned out, like we mentioned, you know, the many comments we receive, a lot of people's lives have changed. I mean, I even believe it affected people taking the vaccine, because by watching the documentary, you realise you can't really trust your government. So I'm hoping I saved many lives there as well.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I've got to say, mission accomplished.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, millions. You know, like you said, your dad, fortunately, he got custody of you, and he spent a lot of time educating you about the truth. Yeah. And your dad has passed on.
Passed on.
And was he alive when you put out Greatest Darn Ever?
Okay. No, he's had, I think it about 2 or 3 years before.
That's a shame. Did you ever, were you a filmmaker before that?
Well, funny enough, I went to art college after I left school. I got an A-level in art. So I thought it was better to go to art college than work. So I went as a student to art college, and they did have a video class. But the guy never saw any talent in me and would often ask me what I was doing there.
Yeah.
And so I consequently didn't, he never saw the Dennis Wise in me.
Right. So when you decided, you know, the internet was created in 69 as a way for governments and research universities to communicate during a nuclear war, and it was released for commercial use in 92. Although there were a lot of folks who were, you know, regular folks who were using it before that. Of course, it was a lot different.
Yeah.
But when did you go on the internet? What year? Do you remember?
It would have been around about probably late 90s.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, 95 was when I got on, and that's when AOL was mailing out those discs.
Oh, yeah, I remember AOL.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so when did you start working, or when did you get the idea that, you know, hey, I want to make a documentary?
Well, first of all, I have to work out how I could do it, because it's not like I've got a film studio and actors. So when I used to go on YouTube and look at various things, and I actually found a decent commentary on this documentary. So I used parts of that commentary. And I also used parts of the film The Rise of Evil, which, although was a propaganda film, was historically, the dateline was accurate. So combining certain things together, I managed to patch it up, and we got there.
So
some people used to ask me how did I get some of the footage, because some of the footage was unseen by many before then. And what I used to do, because YouTube is worldwide, I just used to type in some of Polish, and I'd go to the Polish YouTube, or I'd go to the Russian YouTube, and I would find stuff on there which you generally wouldn't find over here. So that was another angle.
Right. So that was, let's go back to, actually, let's go back to IMDb, the Internet Movie Database. And we'll take a look, and we could see Dennis Wise, and director, producer, writer, known for Adolf Hitler, Greatest Story Never Told, 2013. Is that accurate? 2013?
Yeah, 2013 is when it finished, yeah.
And for some reason, they put them in the wrong order. Yeah. New World Order, Communism by the Back Door, 2014. Is that correct?
That's when I started it, yeah.
Yeah. And Secret of Sonic Victory, World War II, 2022. Is that right? Because
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I think we were carrying it probably around that time.
Possibly, yeah.
Or 2023, yeah. So we looked at that. Let's take a look at New World Order, Communism by the Back Door, coming soon. They didn't update this, but whoever did this, right? Whoever put this on.
Yeah, I don't think it has been updated.
Yeah. stars, Beyonce, Tony Blair, George. Starring. Yeah. And, you know a lot of people.
I've got an all-star list.
Yeah. Oh, my good. You even had Hillary Clinton in here.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. So, and then, oh, there he is, the evil one himself. Yeah. lots of evil people in there. So you saw what happened with The Greatest Story Never Told, and you were putting it up, as you said, in like 15-minute increments on YouTube. And that was in 2013 that you started that on YouTube?
What, coming as Bad Backdoor, yeah.
No, sorry. Greatest Story Never Told.
Oh, Greatest Story Never Told. Yeah, yeah. Well, it ended in two. I think it ended. Let me think.
Yep.
Yeah, so, no, it started in 2013.
Right. And so you were putting it up. And what did you say? What was the number? Was it 17 when YouTube decided enough was enough?
Yeah. 17 parts.
17. So they said, that's it. Shut it down. Right.
I don't think they had the algorithms then.
Right. Right. So, but there were enough of the enemy to apply pressure to YouTube and say, get rid of this. There's too many people watching it. And, What was like the feedback when you put up the first, do you remember like when you put up the first segment where you were probably like busy getting emails and contacts? What was it like? Was it like, wow,
well, it was more the comments really. There were people who were obviously watching it, thrilled with it. And then making sure they were passing it on to their friends. That's more or less, you know, in the comment section.
Right. And then you finished with all the segments that same year, or was it years later?
No, it took me 3 years.
3 years. Right. Okay. So 2016, it was all up there. It was already banned by YouTube. What'd you go to, BitChute?
No, I don't trust BitChute even now.
No.
No, this is when Pete got in touch and offered to build a website.
The guy in New Zealand.
He'd seen the documentary.
Right.
And obviously he was more internet aware than I was.
Internet savvy, right?
Yeah. And we agreed and he put it up and people could go on and see the website, read articles and watch parts of it. Which again caused, you know, a lot more people to comment on it.
And how popular was Pete's website?
Oh, it was getting attacked every day. That's how popular it were.
Yes, right. And he finally just threw his hands in the air and said, "Fuck it, I'm out of here." And
well, I'm unsure what happened, to be honest.
Yeah,
I know it was. He was getting some problems, and eventually, from what I can make out from in various sources, I think he was arrested, but I don't know if he was put in prison, but suddenly the contact stopped.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, or he got spooked about something.
Yeah, the website's still up.
Yeah, the website's still up, right, yeah. Exactly. And I think it feeds into Money Tree. So you put that out, you decided right off the bat that you weren't going to expose yourself by, you know, showing your face and other parts of your identity. And obviously that's worked well.
Yeah, I mean, it puzzles me sometimes because you think maybe, you know, they've got the technology to know. But fingers crossed, touch wood, you know. It's worked exactly. So far.
Yeah. And after you got it all up by 2016, and by the way, BitChute just recently, I don't know if you saw this, but BitChute basically pulled out of the UK because of their laws there.
And, yeah, well, they wouldn't show the greatest story because of, you know, in the UK section. And I couldn't upload anything, so I just give up.
Yep. So it was YouTube, and then it was BitChute, and you abandoned that, and then it was primarily Pete, and then there was nowhere else. Of course, the movie's been mirrored in other sites, and it's still getting, I'm sure, millions of views around the world. So you were happy with the production, and
to be fair, when I first started it, when I realized how popular it was getting on YouTube, I wasn't happy with the production. And that's why today some people can still go around the internet and find the old version. Where I decided if this is going to go on DVD, it needs improving. And that's exactly what I did, to the best of the ability. I'll tell you someone else as well. In them days, I was using a Microsoft PC. And if you made a mistake, you had to go right back to the beginning and start again. Yeah, that took several times. So I've been doing a part, and then I think that's fine, I upload it. Then I find out, oh, there's a mistake there. I would have to do the complete thing again. Even though it's on a computer, I'm going to do the complete thing again because it just, that's how it was in them days. So it were a chore.
Right, and you're not using PCs anymore, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah. So you eventually had that under your belt. And then why did you decide to make another one?
Well, to be honest, I'm pretty sure when I think about it, Dev, I started The Greatest Story in 2010 now. 2010, took me 3 years to do it, finished it in 2013. Started then on Communism by the Back
Door. You mean in 2016, right?
No.
You finished in 2016 or completed in 2013?
No,
oh, from 2010 to 2013. Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
right. So,
good.
So what happened then were after I'd finished The Greatest Story Never Told, I realized what communism had played more than even I'd suspected before. I can remember on YouTube again, remember when Obama, he brought in the inland borders, which stopped people, and they were stopping people from traveling. Brought them in about 100 miles. And a lot of Americans were complaining, saying this goes against the Constitution. But these border patrols were stopping them. And people were writing up, complaining in the comments on YouTube, saying that... oh, it's the fascists, it's the Nazis, etc.
And this is Obama, not Trump, right?
This is Obama, yeah.
Yeah, right.
And I'm writing a comment there saying, no, it's not the Stasi. I mean, it's the Stasi, not the Gestapo. But, of course, I got abused off various people. So I thought, well, maybe I should do a documentary on the real cause. And if people ever do watch New World Order, Communism by the Back Door, more or less, I can say carte blanche, everything in there now has come to pass. I mean, I touch on a lot of things. I touch on Satanism in the music industry. People like transgenderism. I mean, you're talking at that time, and very few people knew about it. But all this is all cultural Marxism. And it's all come to pass, as we know now.
Right. So Obama won the 2008 election, right? And he was in from 2009. And I don't like to use the word served, but he was in that office for 8 years. And he was replaced by Trump in, obviously, on January 20th, 2017. So what year did you start working on New World Order, Communism by the Back Door?
I think I would have started probably about a year after 2006. We're about 2014.
Right. So this is right. Yeah.
Yeah.
On IMDb. Okay. And how long did that take to complete?
Well, I got better and quicker at using the the application. So probably about 18 months.
Oh, that's good.
Something like
yeah.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. And you were happy with the production?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it covered a lot of things. Covered the Kennedy assassination, the transgender, covered the Pope, who's passed away, as we know.
He's in a better place.
I'm sure he's offered than me.
Yeah. Yeah.
At this moment in time.
He's a little warm right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
It covered a lot of things, which again surprised me as I went deeper and deeper into my research. I found out more and more. I was happy with the result, yeah.
Yeah. And the first movie clearly identified the eternal enemy of humankind, and did the second movie do the same?
Yeah, covered parts on Israel, Babylon, you know, went back so far. It's a really interesting, when I look back, it's a really interesting documentary. And it's had good reviews on IMDb as well.
Right. And with the first movie, as you explained, you put it up on YouTube until they took it down, and then you went to Pete. What about this movie? Did this go anywhere on the internet?
Yeah, he made another website especially for it. And did it have the same impact as the first one? No. I mean, if you put Elvis Presley on a DVD, it's going to sell. You put Adolf Hitler on a DVD, it's going to sell more than, say, New World Order, Communism by the Back Door. But I felt that title was exactly right, because they were implementing communism through the back door.
Yes.
Worldwide.
Yes, exactly. All right, then a bunch of years go by, and of course that's not what the cover looks like. I'll bring up the cover. But when did you come up with this idea?
Well, again, once I finished Communism by the Back Door, I realized the impact of Freemasonry had on not only World War II, but the world in general. And so, with it being a secret society, the research was even harder than the first two. But nonetheless, I carried on, and there used to be several weeks where I knew I was getting close. I could feel something was going to break, and eventually it did. You know, I stuck to it, and eventually it did. Like, I'll give you an example. One of the parts in Communism by the Back Door, where I listed all of the lodges that Hitler had closed. And I actually found that on a satanic website. And they listed all these various lodges and orders that Hitler closed down. And that took me ages to find. And it was a similar thing once I'd started Secret Masonic Victory. And I was discovering things which, and even as a Catholic, I'd never heard of, like the revolution down in Mexico when they were implementing communism. And if a priest even dressed as a priest, he'd be executed. And various other other things. So there's a lot of different eras on Secret Masonic Victory. For instance, I cover the Spanish Armada, which not many people realise there was three Spanish Armadas. And John Dee, who was the court magician to Elizabeth I, claims that he put a hex on the Spanish Armada. And when you look at it, the Spanish, who were, I would say, pretty competent at sailing, they used to bring gold back from South America quite easily, but yet they invaded England three times in a decade. Each armada was bigger than the last one. Every one was destroyed by weather. Now, I go into more detail, you know, in that section, whereas the occult side comes into it. And it's pretty astounding, really, when you think about it, that in a war, in that first armada, the British didn't lose a single ship. But yet, they kept all the sailors at sea. The sailors thought, because they didn't want to pay them. Well, they were kept at sea, on the pretense that the Armada might come back, and they died. I think it was 7,000 died of disease and hunger. And that, according to the occult, if you watch the episode, is the sacrifice required for the knowledge which John Dee possessed.
Yeah, and of course I watched it, the whole thing, as we know. We had fun doing that, putting that together. You see on the screen this the Secret Masonic. Let's see what this. We should have looked at the videos for the other ones. So let's take a look at this one.
I've said to Freemasonry, it's harmless in my view. The founding of the United States of America was a Masonic experiment, and that was the pinnacle of its achievement. And there's no secret agenda, and there are no secrets. And all these people that accuse Freemasonry of being of having a secret agenda are deluded. I've now had to change my mind and confess I was wrong. And there is an agenda which appears to be immensely powerful. And I think they see it as the fulfillment of the 3,000-year mission from the time of Solomon. Mm. But the really scary bit was when we realized that the Pentagon is Stonehenge rebuilt.
Really?
And the man that designed it was President of the United States of America at the time, and just about to take his country into the Second World War.
I guess what I'm alluding to there as well, obviously, is that they were beginning the building on the Pentagon because they knew they were entering the war.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yes,
but the reason for them to entering the war didn't come until later.
Sure. My understanding is that the Americans had put the Japanese into a terrible economic, painted them into a corner where...
That's right.
Certainly the powers that be at the highest level probably knew all this. If... these people were driving for the war. It's possible that they just foresaw the war coming and that they hadn't set out to cause it, per se, not, or at least not deliberately to cause it. That's what I like to think, anyway. That's what I like to think, anyway.
How did you come up with Truth Will Out?
I think it's something that I'd heard somewhere in the past, some kind of saying, and I just adopted it.
Right.
Because the truth always, you can bury it as much as you want, but it'll always come out.
Hopefully in our lifetimes.
Well, not necessarily, but it will
come out. Yeah. I mean, so much has come out. Let's take a look at Communism by the Back Door.
Okay.
Oh Lord, am my trouble so hard? Oh Lord, am my trouble so hard? Yeah. Don't nobody know my trouble but God. Don't nobody know my trouble but God.
From Dallas, Texas, a flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Wake up! This is communism!
Oh Lord! Oh Lord! Oh Lord!
is one of the most avid anti-communists in the United States of America. Because I understand the enemy. Not only who they are, but what they are, what they have done, and what they're planning to do.
Communist rules for revolution read like this. Corrupt the young. Get them away from religion. Promote abortion, homosexuality, lesbianism, witchcraft. Cause the restriction of all firearms on some pretext with a view of confiscating them and leaving the population helpless. Destroy their ruggedness. During the early part of Bill Clinton's administration, American taxpayers financed a 3-foot mound of synthetic excrement, a sculpture of two women engaging in oral sex, a film actually showing one man pushing his head into another man's rectum. Wake up! This is communism!
Communism is not a creation of the masses to overthrow the banking establishment. It's a creation of the banking establishment to overthrow and enslave the masses.
Very good. Very good. I think we should see the first one, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we watched the other two.
When he was a boy, everything he loved.
She's very sick. She won't live until Christmas.
Was taken from him.
Sorry, perhaps she tried architecture.
Don't know why it's doing that spinning. Forget it. I don't know why it's doing that, but maybe it's under attack. we'll come back to it. But I wanted to show initially the cover for Secret Masonic.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't the same as it was on IMDb. Yes. And this is, of course, Money Tree Publishing, which doesn't have credit or debit cards. But it does have Cash Check Money Order, GreenPay eCheck, Zelle, and cryptocurrency. So there you go. You know, if you want to use crypto, you can. And, of course, our other website that does take credit and debit cards is right here. Banned by Amazon.com. So you can go there and use your credit or debit card, and that's got everything there. All the stuff. And that's enough of the promotion. Okay, so let's go to the chat, because we have neglected the chat. I have. All right. Oh, let's try, before we do that, let's try the video. Maybe it's going to work better on Banned by Amazon. Let's try it real quick. And if it does, great. If it doesn't, then we can't do it. All right, let's see.
When he was a boy, everything he loved.
She's very sick. She won't live until Christmas.
Was taken from him.
I'm sorry, perhaps you tried architecture.
One day, he would fulfill his destiny.
The High Command agreed to negotiate the terms of surrender. The war is over.
One day, he would raise an army. One day, he would rule the largest empire.
His life was to become a legend. An army with revolutionary tactics and ingenious weapons that ultimately stood poised to conquer Europe.
One day, when he became a man, take it all back. He was a brutal leader. To others, he was a god.
We did it.
Yeah, the sound wasn't as clear as it normally is. But
yeah. Yeah, good. Excellent. Yeah, I just got notification on that, too. I don't know why. Maybe the tech genius over there can figure out why the sound was low, because I don't know anything about this stuff. I don't even know when the show starts anymore.
I don't even know what show I'm on.
Exactly. Yeah. Are we on a show? Oh, wait a second. There's people here. Let's go to the chat. Ready? All right. Shameless says they're trying to pass a law in Canada. Life in prison for hate speech, whatever that is. Well, that's speech that the Jews don't like, of course. Yep. Mance says Europe seems lost. England, France, Germany. The transformation to third world seems almost complete. U.S. not far behind. Dennis?
Kalergi plan.
Yep. Can you argue with that?
Well, everything in the Kalergi plan has come to pass.
Yep. Lori is here. Hello, Lori. Lisa from Germany. Jewish definition of hate speech equals speaking the truth self-defense, asking for evidence, providing evidence are the crimes in a system all based on deception, fraud, and lies. Jewish tyranny called democracy / demon rule. Can you argue with that, Dennis?
Well, it's exactly the same tactics they use in the Soviet Union when Stalin brought out the anti-Semitic laws, which carried the death penalty. So the idea is if your country is being destroyed and they stop you talking about it, it carries on being destroyed.
Yep. If they can remove your vocal cords, you can't.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can't, counter it. So that's what the Jew wants to do. Hey, that rhymes. Shameless says the bill was going through Parliament until Trudeau quit, and they called an election, which kills all bills, but it'll come back again. Yes, it will.
Trudeau was a communist as well.
Oh, God. Ugh. There's word that his father was Fidel Castro. Have you heard that?
Yes, I've heard it, yeah.
Yeah, do you think that?
I think it's possible.
Yep. Rebel Johnny is here. Okay, we got a question from Lisa from Germany. It's a long one. I'll read it to you, Dennis.
Okay.
Dennis Wise, may I ask your take on that? I keep wondering if there was a real chance missed by Hitler to force Churchill's England into making peace. If Hitler had not ordered the German troops to stop the advance to Dunkirk, could they have taken the British troops prisoner? They were stranded at Dunkirk and could have used them as pawns to force peace on the Western Front? And make it absolutely clear to the world who the true aggressors were, that the war was against communism. The Jewish Allied war propaganda would have been devoid of the pretense, motherland England is under attack, England is threatened by a German invasion, and the pretense for pulling the U.S. into the European war for the second time would have been taken away. They could not have come back, as was long pre-planned, with thousands of bombers to firebomb hundreds of German cities, of course, and innocent people, into smithereens, the infrastructure of the whole country into rubble. The Holocaust on the German people might have been prevented, Hitler was more concerned with not humiliating the British then with what the German people had to suffer, Hitler was typically educated. The German-Austrian way, treating one's own children way more stricter than other people's children. The German people have been humiliated, the worst, dragged through the mud for 100+ years, and hardly anybody gives a shit. So I guess the question is, why didn't Hitler do what she's suggesting here? Why didn't he capture the British and press for peace using them as pawns?
Well, what people tend to forget, and which are proved in the secret Masonic victory, was documents found in Warsaw when the Germans landed there showed that the person behind France and England declaring war on Germany was Roosevelt. So even if he had been destroyed the British at Dunkirk, America was always coming into that war. And I saw many examples of Americans trying to get in the war. Many times Roosevelt sent warships into war zones, hoping that the Germans would fire on them. Hitler gave the order not to. They also invaded Iceland, right? And Roosevelt said something on the lines of, we will be the eyes and ears of Britain around that area. So although the people of America didn't want a war at that time in Europe, Roosevelt did. So my theory on why he let the British off was because he said many times he saw no difference between the German race and the English race. And for him to bomb and kill and whatever, he never wanted to in the first place. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was the question to you. You know,
I mean, he was a man of race. That's the, and for him to have bombed all, or maybe bombed a majority of them, took some prisoners, would have gone against his ideology.
Yeah, but I mean, he could have. I mean, they did take prisoners, you know, prior to that, right? I mean, they had.
Well, yeah, and he even sent peace proposals, sent 22 peace proposals, which Churchill totally ignored. So, you know, war, it was going to be a war. But even if he took the British out, America would have come into that war.
Yeah, but if he, as Lisa said, if he captured them, which he could have done real easily, right?
Yeah.
Captured them, put them in a camp, right, a POW camp. And then, I mean, that seems like a perfect opportunity to press for peace right there, right? Hey, we got, you know, how many were there? How many British could have been captured?
I'm not sure the numbers. I know right. that they lost all their weapons and things, so they were a spent force. Diana Spingola has a theory that the ground what lay before the beach was sunken, and the tanks, etc., had to stop rolling up to a certain point. She thinks that Hitler would have wiped them out. And certainly there was some bombing going on, but the boats coming over from Britain, they managed to get them off the beach. It is a mystery, you know. I mean, but my theory is that he never wanted that war anyway.
Yeah, but this could have really, I mean, it's just common sense, right? It could have, you know, ended it. And possibly.
It wouldn't have ended it, though. No, it wouldn't have ended it. America would have come into that war.
Yeah, but wait a second. They've got all these, let's call them hostages, right? Let's see if the chat knows.
Do you think that would have stopped Roosevelt?
Well, what was the year that they were trapped at Dunkirk?
39, were it?
I mean, it might have, yeah, sure.
Well, they invaded Poland in 39.
Yeah.
Possibly 40, because they didn't, the British didn't invade straight away, did they? About a year later, where it was like a slow war.
Right, right. Okay, there were 198,000 British soldiers evacuated from Dunkirk. But an estimated 30 to 40,000 were left behind and captured by the Germans. Why not capture 200,000 of them right there? That would have been brilliant, right?
Well, it would on one end. But like I say, I'm not sure it would have solved anything.
Well, I mean, but you don't know until you try it. Why not try it? Why not? Hey, look, here they are. They're done, right? We're in this war, right? Let's just see. Exactly the date when that was, real quick. Okay, Operation Dynamo. Here it is. The evacuation of more than 338,000 Allied soldiers during the May 26th to June 4, 1940 battle, right? For that time, okay? So here we go. June of 1940, early on, way early on in the war.
Yep.
That would have made a huge statement. We just captured almost 340,000 of your troops. Here they are. They're on the beach. As a matter of fact, we're gonna leave them on the beach because we're not going to move them anywhere. All we're going to do is we're going to have guards posted around them. And if anybody tries to escape, they get shot. We're in war. Now, we got them. Let's talk.
I say in the documentary, some people think it were a mistake and others think it were a noble deed. So you've got to decide yourself, haven't you? Were it a blunder? Possibly.
Yeah, but that's a huge blunder. I mean, that's a total fuck up, right? I mean, you got all of these people here. Operation Dynamo. He let them get away. I don't get it.
Well, he certainly looks like he's let them get away, yeah, but the reason behind it is, like I previously said, my feelings.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you know, putting those terms as she did, you know, why not? Why not use them as, you know, bargaining chips? I mean, what did the Wehrmacht think about that decision? Do you know anything about that?
Well, I think some people wanted Hitler to continue with the attack, but obviously he had different reasons. Even strategically to feed, what was it, 300,000? If he kept them on the beach with no shelter, was it feasible? I don't know.
Yeah, I can't. I don't look. I'm not anywhere near an expert on it. But let's see what it says here in Zyopedia. So surrounded by marshes, Dunkirk boasts old fortifications and the longest sand beach in Europe, where large groups could assemble. On May 20, on Churchill's suggestion, the Admiralty began arranging for all available small vessels to be made ready to proceed to France. Okay, so obviously they were trapped. And let's see if it says anything about why they didn't do it, right? Or actually, you know what? I'm just going to do this. Why didn't Hitler capture
or kill?
Yeah, that's right. Or kill. Ah, there it is. Dunkirk. Let's see what AI says. Because of a halt order given to the German army, which left the task of destroying the encircled troops to the Luftwaffe, decision was influenced by fears of a potential Allied counterattack, the belief the Luftwaffe could handle the situation, and the desire to conserve armor for other operations. So, fear of counterattack. Hitler and his generals were concerned about a possible large-scale Allied counterattack, like the one that had nearly succeeded south of Arras. They worried that continuing the advance with armor into the marshy terrain of northern France and Belgium would be ill-suited and vulnerable to such a counterattack. Hermann Göring, commander of the Luftwaffe, assured Hitler his air force could effectively prevent the evacuation and destroy the trapped forces. This assurance led Hitler to believe the Luftwaffe could handle the situation. Some historians suggest Hitler also wanted to conserve the armor for other operations, particularly in the South, and that the Luftwaffe's political connections to the Nazi party may have influenced the decision. Terrain, the ground around Dunkirk was not ideal, as we mentioned before. Luftwaffe's ineffectiveness. Luftwaffe ultimately failed to prevent the evacuation, despite Goering's assurances. The evacuation was a major success, with over 338,000 troops successfully transported back to Britain. There we go. So, like you said, who knows, right?
Yeah, it's one of those conundrums.
Yeah, yep. All right. Let's see what we got here. Lisa says, and Churchill celebrated the getting away of the British troops as propaganda success, how they outsmarted these stupid Nazis. And she says, no, not killing them. Hitler did not want to provoke more enmity, but less. Well, of course, we're second guessing, you know, what happened there, but it's
well,
they
sent a peace proposal almost immediately.
Yeah, well, we know why they didn't want peace, obviously. But, I mean, that could have, you know, that's a big what if, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, what if he did that? What if he did send, I mean, you wouldn't have to send all the armor there, but what if he sent some tanks in there and, you know, rounded them up, and instead of letting them just completely, you know, almost completely get away. I mean, that could have changed everything. I mean, that's a huge, huge what if.
Possibly. But
yeah,
you've got to remember, he just conquered France. Maybe if that was in Germany, he would have done. But he's in a new country, which he hasn't yet organized.
Right.
France had surrendered. So he's probably got a lot on his plate. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. Like I said, we're armchair generals here, but, you know, whatever. It was a great question. So we're about less than 15 minutes away from the end of the show. I'm going to do another show an hour after we end. I was invited on Giuseppe with James Mason for, you know, about a month ago. I don't do a lot of shows, but, I certainly don't do a lot of these type of shows, but I've enjoyed myself, you know, obviously, because, you know, we have a lot of fun online, and, you know, we have a lot of fun on Skype, which is going away.
I'm still not convinced about this new one, but.
Yeah, I know. It's not like it was, but it is more nimble. You know, Skype was kind of, it's still around. May 5th is its.
Yeah, I still use it.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of, but you're on the other one as well.
I've got right? The other one. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, so this one seems more nimble, and Skype was clunky, is still clunky. Any more films after the secret Masonic victory of World War II?
Not really, no, because as I thought, if you count all the hours on all the documentary, you know, there were 18, 20 odd hours there weren't all together. I couldn't really say much more, not on that particular subject anyway. And there hasn't really been a subject since which has got any meat on the bone for myself.
Right.
I do look at certain things like the transgender thing and how strict they are with that. They do really come down hard, you know. And my theory is that the New World Order, if it ever comes in and the depopulation is carried out, then I do think they're going to go for a genderless society.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, you know, that's their aim, which is why Hollywood's probably been doing it for years. A lot of these Hollywood actors, actresses, if you can call them that now, are guys.
Yeah.
And when people look at a film or a picture of anybody and they don't believe it, all you got to do is look at the ladyboys down in Taiwan, wherever it is, and you couldn't get more female looking guys. So, you know, it is possible.
Yeah, they're going in that direction. So you might make a film about that in the future.
Well, never say never.
Yeah, right, exactly. And, you know, a little while back, a bunch of folks asked me how you were doing, you know, physically, health-wise, and how are you feeling?
I'm feeling all right. It's just that I have restrictions in walking. And so after so many minutes of standing up or walking, then I do get pain. But the minute I sit down, the pain goes. So I do carry on pain-free, which is a good thing.
Yeah, that's a great thing. So nothing to worry about with your health, or no, folks out there who had asked me, you know, about him. He's
no, I'm in a good place.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. And your favorite out of the three it's got to be Greatest Story, right?
Yeah, that was the one that wrecked the internet.
Yes, 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 it did. And of course, people can still go online and watch it for free. You know, and that's fine. You know, some people want to get, I was going to say this earlier, some people know that it's online for free, but they want to get the hard copy because they're
afraid. Yeah, in case it ever gets taken down.
Right.
And at least they've got the copy to show the families.
Exactly. And yes. And a lot of people do get it just for that purpose, as was mentioned by Huntress. Now you're obviously a filmmaker, and the Jews who control the media, Hollywood and all that, they make sure that, you know, their intellectual property rights and their copyrights are protected. And they have obviously unlimited capital and all the legal forces at their disposal. But you don't, you didn't do this to make money, right?
No, I solely did it to get the word out. Because, like I said, it were a burden I carried around for a long, long time. And it actually hurt at times when I knew people would talk about the Germans and about the Second World War, Hitler. Knowing what I knew, if they only knew the truth. Exactly. I mean, today, I'll give you an example. On the internet today, or because of the internet today, a lot of British soldiers are signing out of the army because they're fearful now of going to being sent to the Ukraine. And they don't want to fight in that war because it's a fucking dumb war to start with.
Right.
It's a great man, a meat grinder. Now, there was no internet in World War II or before World War II. And a lot of people were fooled by the propaganda. And if the internet was around then, I don't think so many people would have been so keen to get to Dunkirk.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And that's what's happening, like you said.
That's exactly what's happening.
Instant communications. So when it's on the – and I bring this up because – well, for a variety of reasons, but – when it's on the internet and they give it away for free, obviously you don't get compensated for that.
No, I got once. Someone sent me an email once on the other website saying that, the truth should be free and all that kind of carry on. And I said, well, just have a look on the internet and you'll find it. That's how it is. But it's nice when people do buy it, because obviously it helps sustain me, because I've got to an age now where I'm retired and I don't have I'm on a pension. So I'm grateful for the, I've never asked for donations, you know, right. it's people buying it and I'm grateful for it.
Yeah. And then when it was, and of course I only know this stuff because of our relationship, which is most of the time cracking jokes on Skype, but and me getting angry, and you go and you going, oh fuck, he's pissed off again. You're gonna have a heart attack, you idiot.
Yeah.
You know, when you were when the flicks were being distributed by Pete in New Zealand, you were making something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but not that much.
No.
And since they've been distributed by us, you have been.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
And that's the first time that's ever happened.
Like, yeah.
To that extent. How does that feel? Like getting paid for something you did like this?
Well, if anybody's happy about it, it's my wife.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're happy about it too.
Well, yeah, but she gets the shopping in and she knows.
Yes.
Especially the price of inflation now over in the UK, where, you know, prices are exorbitant just by the fact that supermarkets know that prices have gone up. They'll put prices up just because they've gone up, and they get away with it. So it helps out.
Yes, good, excellent. And have a fan who just messaged me just the other day. Today's Wednesday, so just on Monday. You know, that he was saying he hopes you make it over to Teams. And another great guy who's close by here physically, mm-hmm. To me. So, yes, for sure. He's there. If you're listening, Dennis is there. So let me just look at the last remaining chats. Thomas88 says, why didn't the evil maniac make soap and lampshades out of the British, right? Because you can only have Jewish lampshades and soap. It's got a better flavor to it. Lisa from Germany says, good talks are refreshing. Yes.
Yeah.
Huntress says, we're going to take over and destroy Hollywood. Trust spy with my help. I do. We need to destroy. Well, Hollywood's destroying itself. So yeah. Like Dennis said, because of the internet, so many people are waking the hell up.
Yeah.
And Dennis, any final, can we do, first let me ask you, would you like to do another show at some
sure.
point? Okay. Is Wednesday good? Is that a good day?
Wednesday's good.
Is this a good time as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Or do you prefer like later in the day?
No, I'm fine.
Yeah, this is good for you.
Yeah.
Cool. So maybe we'll do one next Wednesday.
Sure.
Right? Any words for the audience who came here to hear this interview?
Well, I'm pretty sure they're already cleared up. You know, this walk world, what we're living in. I mean, walk is another name for communism. And all this cultural Marxism, which has enveloped America now, and it's all right, Trump saying what he's saying, but really all Trump is saying is what was normal 10 years ago. And what Trump does with one hand, he deceives with the other hand. It's in layman's terms, the war at the moment is the left-wing Jew, communist, against the right-wing Jew, which is a Zionist, and the struggle for the New World Order, who's going to lead the way to New World Order. And hopefully, by maybe divine intervention, it'll all end, hopefully, one day, and we'll come out on top.
Yeah, and we'll have a big party.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, a Judenfry party. Yeah, it would be great. Yeah, awesome. Of course, like you said, the left-wing Jew. Yeah, go ahead.
One quick message for you Americans. Do not give up your guns.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I believe you will do, but, you know, it's the only thing that's saving the world at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I never leave home without him. So, yeah, do not give him up.
No.
That's what stands between us and the Julag.
Slavery. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. My good friend, thank you for spending the time.
Pleasure.
Today. It was great to do this, and I wish we would have done it years ago. But we'll see you on Skype. And we'll do another show if you want.
Okay. Not a problem.
Next Wednesday, we'll get other topics.
Same time next week.
Yeah, exactly. Spy Hunter is here. And Shameless Wise says, great stream. Thanks, gents. And thank all of you. And especially thanks to the great Dennis Wise. Thank you, Dennis.
Cheers. Okay. God bless.